When it comes to recreational marijuana, to legalize or not to legalize, Michigan seems to be right about where Colorado was not that many years ago. When Colorado voters said yes to recreational use of cannabis in November 2012, there were many who celebrated and many who feared the worst for their state. What has and has not changed since legalization? Ben Marcus is a reporter for Colorado Public Radio. He's covered the changing attitudes towards marijuana in his state. Welcome, Ben.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with some context. Could you kind of walk us through, over the years, how marijuana went from illegal to use for any reason to, hey, use it for fun?
Sure. So it's a process that took about more than a decade. So in around 2000, voters passed an initiative for medical marijuana. This was a very limited program. You could find a caregiver somewhere who would grow your plants for you, or you could grow them yourself. And that's pretty much how it existed for about 8-9 years. And then suddenly dispensaries popped up. These were commercial outlets that would grow your medical marijuana for you. And the registry exploded of people who were getting prescription marijuana. And so too did the number of stores. So in Denver, the capital city, there were 200 medical stores in one city in Colorado, as many marijuana stores as there were liquor stores. Medical marijuana was huge. The state then decided, hey, we need to regulate this thing after all these stores came in. So they developed really strict regulations on licensing at the local and the state level. They kicked felons out of the program. If you were a felon, you couldn't own one of these businesses. They created a tracking system. They hired inspectors. And so in 2012, marijuana advocates thought, it's time for that last push. It's time to go for recreational marijuana. Now that people in Denver and around Colorado are comfortable with marijuana, and they did it during a presidential election, and it passed overwhelmingly. And now we have recreational and medical marijuana living side by side in Colorado.
And then November 2013, Prop AA passed because, my goodness, let's make some money on this for the state, right?
Right. So there's quirks in Colorado's constitution about taxes. It was always promised when the original recreational marijuana ballot initiative was put out that we would sell and we would tax marijuana in the state of Colorado. And so there was this ballot initiative which taxes marijuana at a 10% rate, also taxes excise at a 15% rate. These are transfers between warehouses and stores. And so last year, the state brought in about $70 million in taxes. Not huge, not budget-busting kind of numbers, but certainly at a time of austerity, millions of dollars are not being turned away.
Ben, here in Michigan, we're seeing a mix of grassroots efforts, pardon the pun, but it's true. We've got folks working on the ground as well as legislators who are working toward legalizing marijuana, not always seeing eye to eye at all. Who was involved in working to legalize marijuana in Colorado?
So it was really politicians across the spectrum. You know, they woke up one morning and there were hundreds of stores selling medical marijuana across Colorado. And so Republicans and Democrats came together and said, look, let's find a way to make this work on the up and up. Let's take this industry out of the shadows and let's give it the regulations that it deserves. And that is partly why people say the federal government didn't come in and say, hey, Colorado, you better not pass your amendment for recreational marijuana like they did for California previously, because Colorado had taken the steps at the state and local level to regulate this product all along the production process, from the warehouses to the stores to the people who work in these businesses. And so Colorado, what they did is it wasn't just the grassroots people, the people who are really passionate about marijuana. It was the politicians and those people coming together and pushing this thing forward and making it legitimate.
Coming together. And that's interesting. We're not seeing that so much here. So that'll be interesting to see how the trajectory follows in Michigan versus what happened in Colorado. And I'm wondering, what were the main concerns of those who did not want to see this legalized?
The impact on children is brought up, and it's still brought up today. We just don't know what that impact is going to be. If you drive around Denver and you see 200 marijuana stores, that has an impact on the culture of a place. But we don't know yet what that impact is. Is that going to be more drug use for kids? Is that going to be more addiction? It's just too soon to tell. We're a year and a half into this. So any trends showing up or down, it's just too soon to say where this thing is going. And so when we talk about kids, a lot of the concern lately has been around edible marijuana. You know, if you walk into a marijuana store today here in Colorado, you will not recognize the products that maybe you grew up thinking of, marijuana in leaf form. It's there. But you also have popcorn. You also have brownies. You also have cookies. You also have gummy bears. You also have Swedish fish. You have an amazing array of products with marijuana infused into them. And this has become probably the most popular product in Colorado. But a chocolate infused with marijuana looks like a chocolate that's just from Hershey's. And so the state is working on a way to differentiate that chocolate so that parents and teachers know the difference between chocolate and infused chocolate.
I know you said it's really too early to see trends, but has anything shown up in terms of traffic fatalities or drug possession arrests? I would certainly suspect drug possession arrests, there would be a difference.
Sure. So drug possession arrests have gone down, as you would imagine, dramatically now that you've legalized any possession of an ounce or less of marijuana. What we see going up dramatically is public consumption, especially in Denver, where most people travel to the city to be a part of this marijuana scene. And they go and they buy their marijuana in a store and they walk out and they realize there's nowhere legal to smoke it. You can't smoke it in a bar. You can't smoke it on the street. That's in public. You can't smoke it in most hotel rooms. You can't smoke it in your car, on and on. And so people are smoking it when they walk out of the dispensary because they have nowhere else to go. And so public consumption tickets have gone up, dramatically, like 400 or 500% by our calculations. And so that is where the state is also trying to fix some of the problems it hadn't anticipated. And this is giving people a place to actually safely and legally consume the marijuana if they don't have a legal residence here in Colorado.
I'm speaking with Ben Marcus, who's a reporter for Colorado Public Radio, as we look at life in Colorado since marijuana was legalized. And Ben, of course, we all know the fact remains states can pass all the ballot proposals and laws they want, but using and selling cannabis still violates federal controlled substance laws. Did this conflict of laws ever become a problem in Colorado?
It's a problem right now. It's a problem if you want to insure your business as a dispensary owner. A lot of insurance has been shut down because insurance marketplaces are regulated by the federal government. It's a problem if you want to open a bank account at Wells Fargo for your business. Banks are regulated by the federal government. The federal government still sees marijuana as legal, and so the Federal Reserve has not approved banks that would work directly with marijuana businesses, nor do banks feel comfortable enough to work with marijuana businesses given the regulations that are out there. They are afraid of being complicit in illegal drug dealing and money laundering through just opening simple accounts. And so, no, the federal government is not coming into Colorado and busting down doors and arresting people for selling marijuana, but it is making it very difficult to do business in this state without opening up all of the things that normal businesses take for granted.
Ben, have any other conflicts bubbled up in your state regarding, for example, different counties having different regulations?
Part of Amendment 64, which voters passed to legalize marijuana in Colorado in 2012, gives a lot of discretion to local areas as to what they want to do. And so Denver is a marijuana-friendly city, so they approved it. They started issuing licenses. Same with Boulder in the northwest of Denver, but Colorado Springs, the state's second largest city, which has a very conservative population and several military bases, has decided to not go forward with recreational marijuana. And so there are pockets of the state on the eastern plains and some parts of the west on the western slope that don't have any regulated marijuana stores at all. And so you see in the metro area hundreds of stores and you can drive 4 hours away and there's nothing. What the advocates say is that what you're doing when you do that as local governments is you're allowing the black market to flourish in those areas that don't offer stores. Colorado, like most states, is very diverse in its politics. The city politics are generally more liberal than the rural politics, and that's where you're seeing the dividing lines for marijuana in this state.
Interesting. I'm also wondering, with that tax, that 25% tax on the sale of recreational marijuana, has that prompted a black market?
I think it did initially because prices were way out of control a year and a half ago when everything started. You had 36 stores open for a few months, just a very few number of stores and not a lot of product, but you had people coming from all over the world trying to buy it. So classic supply and demand, prices shot up dramatically, and then you add that tax on top of it. And I talked to people who would come out of stores and say, you know what, I'm just going to go down to Civic Center Park and buy my marijuana for a third of the price. So that was true a year and a half ago, but now we're a year and a half in, hundreds of stores have opened. And They have scaled up their operations. They're growing marijuana on a daily basis now for recreational use, and now prices have bottomed out. Prices have really fallen quite dramatically, and that is probably the best argument of how to destroy the black market, right, is to compete on price and convenience. And that's Colorado is probably at that point where marijuana prices are at their lowest level. And so I would be surprised. Black market may be flourishing, like we said, in those areas that don't have the recreational marijuana stores. And black market may be flourishing for people who are under the age of 21 who can't go into a store and buy it. So it may be in schools. It may be outside stores where people are going and buying it for younger people. That's kind of the black market today. It's more of like the alcohol black market that exists.
Ben, as you covered the process of legalizing marijuana in Colorado, I'm wondering, did anything surprise you at all?
I think I was surprised, like most people in the state, by the popularity of edibles. 5.7 million edibles were sold last year in the state of Colorado. If you think that most of those edibles are 10 doses apiece, that's 50 million doses of edible marijuana were sold in 1 year in Colorado. And that's before they were able to really ramp up production in the early part of the year where it was a limited market still. We don't know where that's going to go, but clearly safety is what took most people by surprise. Early on in the first months of recreational marijuana last year, a student from Wyoming came to Colorado, came to Denver. He bought a cookie that has 6 doses of marijuana and he ate the entire cookie. He had some kind of psychotic breakdown, jumped off the balcony of his hotel and died. Now, it's not like people are jumping off balconies all across Denver and dying. It's not the case. But it was enough of an incident to spur the state and to spur the anti-marijuana folks into action to try to clamp down on recreational marijuana edibles, and so that people are fully aware of just how potent this treat is. Nobody just eats a tenth of a candy bar. That's just not normal human behavior. And so if you're not familiar with this substance, you come in and you eat half or you eat an entire candy bar, you have a very, very bad experience. And in some very rare cases, it can be deadly. And so what the state is doing now is thinking, how can we stamp these edibles in a way that people understand what they're getting into? And so they've come up with this like stop sign stamp that says THC in it that will be put on all of the chocolates or mints. And so this is being debated right now. The marijuana folks say that stop sign is anti-marijuana and that goes too far. But clearly the state right now is grappling with a part of marijuana that maybe most people just didn't even think was going to be a problem or even that big a part of the marketplace.
Ben Marcus is a reporter with Colorado Public Radio. Ben, it was great to talk with you, and we want to really thank you for kind of giving us a sense of what life is like inside Colorado now that marijuana is legalized.